Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There has been a significant dust-up over race and discrimination in Charles County over the past 3 years. County Commissioner Thomasina Coates, a black woman, was censured after she was accused of racial discrimination and harassment of County Administrator Mark Belton, who was white. The issue continues to make headlines in the county that is growing in population and political and economic influence. Tonight, we sit down with Commissioner Coates to talk about this issue. She joins us along with Bruce Branch, Executive Director of the Maryland Business and Clergy Partnership. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Commissioner, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Branch, thank you so much for joining the conversation as well. We'll be getting to you shortly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Commissioner, let me just ask you point blank, what is your problem with County Administrator Mark Belton?
It's as simple as work performance. The county, I didn't have an issue with him coming into the county as a contract employee. It was soon after I realized that some of the commissioner goals and objectives that had been set by our county commissioners, our Board of County Commissioners, and voted on. And one of them was diversity and racial competency. So just have an understanding. Soon after that, there was a conversation with Mr. Belton, who indicated that he actually addressed it with me, that he had spoken with other commissioners, and that he understood the objectives and goals of Charles County. He understood that the demographics of Charles County had changed and was changing, and he stated that he felt that the county there should be a bit more diversity and equity in Charles County. So, and that was the extent of our conversation. Soon after that, it was apparent that wasn't the case, that he in fact seemed to have done the opposite. There are positions that were open, that soon came open, that was not filled, did not exempt that he understood the diversity and racial competency. And I soon realized that we might have a problem here. It was at that point that he also noted to me at the time we had the conversation that he understood that I didn't sign his contract. So I thought that was a bit strange that he was more interested in letting me know that I hadn't signed his contract. And I'm thinking, like, where is this going? So soon after, we had conversations about working with the community, a very diverse community. And I noticed that there were issues when we were addressing matters with people of color. And that's where we end up. I spoke with other commissioners, and they also acknowledged that they felt that there were some matters that need to be addressed. Another commissioner asked him about some applications that had been actually applied for certain jobs, and he made a statement that commissioner was making discriminatory comments. That was discriminatory. That was a discriminatory ask.
I know this is a really big and and long story. This mm-hmm. has, as it I said, this has been going on for some yeah. 3 years mm-hmm. now. You have been reelected since these first allegations came out. Mm-hmm. Mr. Belton remains in his position. Mm-hmm. There was a report that came out that where Mr. Belton, you know, accused you of promoting a hostile workplace, of racial discrimination and the like. And so some of the things that you were sharing mm-hmm. with us now, he's also accusing you of. There were other commissioners, you know, one black, one white, who did not support you in some of these things. And all the way up to today, there's still a court case pending. I think the technical term for this is a mess.
It is.
And it, not to mention the fact that, you know, there had been allegations as it relates to his position, paraphrasing here, that you did not want this white guy to have this job. Did you say that?
Absolutely not. That is utterly ridiculous. For a person of color, doesn't speak like that. So that is not anything that I would ever have said. That was just blatantly untrue. Mm-hmm. Most of my comments were... again, he was sitting in the job, so I didn't quite understand that. I was supportive of his initial employment, and I'm thinking like, so when you make an unfounded, untrue statement, is that it was appalling. It was appalling to hear that, because no one would ever tell, you know, someone, and particularly myself, tell anyone anything like that. That was utterly ridiculous. So, no.
So, do you stand by your initial thoughts about whether or not Mr. Belton is qualified to do the job that he is charged with doing here in May of 2023?
I felt that in 2020, there could have been some issues with the you know, being possibly qualified for doing the job, and that was where I addressed it with HR. I addressed it with a couple of my colleagues. At that point, you know, we were like, okay, what are we going to do? How do we move forward with this? In 2020, two of my colleagues decided that it was time for him to go. Yes, so they. You know, drew up termination papers to address it with him that we no longer were going to terminate his contract, and that was January of 2020. So I obviously didn't only have the problem with some work performance. It sounds like others did too.
But you and you know, let's, you know, call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. You know, some have also asked that you step down. Mm-hmm. As well, which goes back to what I was kind of saying before. There are five county commissioners. Mm-hmm. How many of them are people of color?
And currently, right now, currently, there is four.
So there are four people of color. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, you know, being, you know, growing up in the Washington metro area and remembering Charles County as a kid, which it was just all farmland, which was just, you know, like much of Prince George's County was maybe 20 years before, you know, I became a person. Mm-hmm. And we also know that, you know, maybe about 15 years or so ago, there was a huge criminal dust-up about racially based arson for new mm-hmm. construction mm-hmm. and the like. So obviously, this issue of race in Charles County, just based on where we are in this situation with you, Mr. Belton, and this broader issue, has it changed? I mean, other than by looking at the faces on the commission.
Yeah, the demographics of Charles County has changed. We are above 51% minority population. So, and that reference has changed. The workforce has not changed. So, in county government, that has not changed. We still have about 80% non-minority workers that work in Charles County government. So,
I guess the question that a lot of people were probably thinking, how do you fix this?
Good question.
Because there seems to be a lot of animosity on all sides related to this issue. Mm-hmm. It's lasted for 3 years. It remains in the headlines. It's the thing that mm-hmm. that everyone is talking about, not just the journalists. Mm-hmm. And can you and Mr. Belton can you two get along, or how do you do that? How do you represent your constituency when this is the main? Seems to be the main focus.
Well, it's a very small group of folks that continue making this the main focus because it is also what they continue to lay their hat on is an investigation that did not give me the opportunity to share my side of the investigation. It was a side that was only shared by one side, period, Mark Belton's side. I did not get to respond to the allegation. And it didn't start with me. It started with a Merit employee that filed a discrimination complaint against Mark Belton. And there were several others that have come in as well. But it didn't start with me. There was, I happened to have gotten a call in reference to an employee who had filed this discrimination complaint. To ask about certain behavioral factors dealing with Mr. Belton and what I saw and what I've experienced with his work performance and behavior with this employee. Hmm.
You are listening to Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Belton. We are talking about
Thomasina Coates.
Coates, thank you. Sorry about that. Thomasina Coates, Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Coates. We're talking about race and discrimination and the politics of it in Charles County. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Branch, what do you think about all of this?
I think it's indicative of the times in which we live. I also believe, if you look at the case, Thomasina Coates was singled out unprecedented. Are you telling me she's the first commissioner that ever said it had any kind of racial overtones to their work? And we're talking about two non-elected officials who are Republicans taking out a person who's a Democrat, a proud black woman, one of the most popular elected officials we have down there, only because she spoke about diversity. I heard her say 52% in Charles County, but more than 60% of the people who live in Waldorf are people of color. And only 2% of contracts are given to African Americans in a county that's overwhelmingly black. I think that's disgraceful. She had the guts to speak out when some others didn't, and she's now being punished for it. I call it a high-tech lynching.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to continue this conversation about the politics of race and discrimination in Charles County. If you have a comment or a question, we would like to hear from you. We're going to take a very brief break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing the politics of race and discrimination in Charles County. My guests are Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Coates, also joining us Bruce Branch, Executive Director of the Maryland Business and Clergy Partnership. Lines are open if you have a comment or question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Branch, you use the term, you know, high-tech lynching. But I guess my question is, if this growing, developing county has a majority, slim majority, but a majority black population, the population of the commissioners is mostly African American. Why do you think, for example, that African Americans are not getting a piece of the contracts? And you have your ear to the ground as it relates to business in the county.
I think Commissioner Coates, she aptly put it. Most of the people that are still in power in the fundamental positions are not African American, and they don't want to give up the old guard. This is a fight for the soul of Charles County. That's why we've had so many African American leaders who aren't afraid, who are bold, stand up behind her. Today at the press conference, we had dozens of people who came out to support her. We even to show the divisiveness. We even had some people who were from the Trump Party. Commissioner Coates don't want to talk about it. She's been threatened by the Ku Klux Klan down in Charles County. So it's about the soul. And I always say, follow the money. If you follow the money, Charles County has some tremendous growth projects. And all people want is a fair opportunity to compete for those contracts. Under the present conditions, minority businesses will be shut out.
Do you agree with what he's saying about the whole contract situation?
That is accurate. It's absolutely accurate. Documents I shared was called a disparity study. We conducted that disparity study back in 2020, 2021, and it did conclude that there was a disparity and a discriminatory factor playing into minority women-owned businesses in the procurement area. So he is absolutely on point. That is accurate.
I'm going to go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Wanda, calling from Charles County. Wanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, what's on my mind? Now, I don't know Ms. Coates from the commissioner, but I had a dream, but it came true, and she's telling the truth. Charles County is very prejudiced. I've been down here for 14 years. My husband wanted to move down here from up in Marlboro, but I went on and followed his footsteps. I have an issue, not with the commissioner. I've never been in trouble in Charles County, ever. But my thing is, with the neighborhood, HOA, the association people, it's an inside job. You're right. She's right. As a commissioner, it goes down and down and down to different levels. You're right. I have an issue where my yard is taking up everybody else's graffiti, everybody else's stuff from their yard. And when I go to the HOA, they tell me, it's a different plan. All of a sudden, I don't see no letters or nothing going out. It's something different every year. It's not what you know. You know you're doing the right thing. It's what they know, and it's not what you know. It's who they know. And every time I complain, my husband and I, we put so much money in our outside planning just for the neighbors from the right to the back. And I keep on complaining.
Well, Wanda, I don't want to get too much into the weeds of your specific issue, but obviously you are having an issue, and I'll have the commissioner at least attempt to address the issue. I don't know whether or not this comes you know, underneath your district, as it were, but if you could at least try to speak to what Wanda's talking about.
Wanda, it's good good hearing from you. Thank you so much, Commissioner Coates here. What you're having is an HOA issue. I don't know all the details, but I would like to even further this conversation with you offline if possible. But we have an HOA dispute board. Are you aware of that?
Yes, but I did everything, ma'am. I did everything.
Okay.
And then when I asked to speak to a higher commander, they talking about it's them. Ma'am, if you come around here as a commissioner, right now, the next door neighbor, they renting. She telling me they got the same opportunity we got. Their grass 8 feet.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, Wanda. So, go ahead and address this.
So, yeah. Hey, Wanda, you know, we have what they call a nuisance abate board. And when someone else is not maintaining their property, I'll need you to contact the county. But if I could somehow, we can exchange information, and I'll work with you directly to make sure that your matter is handled directly and from our county government standpoint.
Wanda, just hang on. Our producer will get your information, and then she will make sure that it is passed on to the commissioner. But thank you so much for giving us a call. Daryl calling from Upper Marlboro. Daryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that the same behaviors that are being discussed permeates throughout the school system. Having been an employee there for more than 15 years, the same discriminatory behaviors that are exhibited between the Caucasian employees versus the African-American employees is very, very much noticeable, yet not addressed. And so for Charles County having that history, I don't see where there's anything done or in place to address those issues that continue to arise, whether it's within the school system or in the communities.
For Prince George's?
You're calling from Prince George's, but I'm not sure I understand your point, Daryl, because we're talking specifically about Charles County.
Having been employed for 15 years in the Charles County school system.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So, and Daryl, what's your I'm sorry. Can you repeat your question?
Well, I was just expressing the fact that those very same discriminatory behaviors have been exhibited or continue to be exhibited throughout the school system.
Okay.
In Charles County.
Oh, wow.
And certainly, this is not the Board of Education.
Right, it is not.
So yeah, but you know, Daryl, I appreciate you know your sharing your thoughts with us regarding this issue, and thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go back to you, Commissioner, one of the reasons that we brought Mr. Branch on is to talk about a town hall that is coming up rather quickly. Mr. Branch, could you share with us what this town hall is about, what the purpose of, and what you hope the outcome will be?
Well, it's basically a review from our delegation from Annapolis, Delegate Edith Patterson, Senator Arthur Turner, but it has morphed into something more with a lot of different organizations, NAACP, Maryland Business and Clergy Partnership, because we need to show support. That gentleman, what he said is indicative of how people feel in Charles County. So what we're trying to do is to mobilize people, vote for people that are like-minded, and to asking people to come out tomorrow night and to have a say and to really learn how we can make a difference in Charles County, which is now, as you know, Mr. Fisher, the richest African-American suburb in the entire United States. It has supplanted Prince George's County. And I think that's a very interesting fact. And once again, the old guard is trying to hold on. The new guard is trying to come through.
See, when, specifically when is this town hall and where? And where?
Thomasina?
Yeah, it's a combination town hall between District 1 and District 2, myself, and District 4, Commissioner Patterson. So it will be held at Fieldside Community Center. Fieldside Community Center. I'm sorry, I didn't have the address because I didn't know we were going to talk about that.
Well, I just wanted to make sure
Fieldside Community Center.
That we mention that for those who are interested in attending.
Yeah, we were talking about county business. We'll be talking about things that are going on in the county that are positive. Things that are going in the community, and particularly my district, who is also bumps up and kind of is consume some of the Waldorf area as well as District 4. We kind of align with each other.
Yeah,
we want people to come out and let their views be known, but we want to give them some information on exactly what is happening in their county.
Exactly.
Many times people don't really know the real story. They only hear and see what people tell them, but we're going to give them facts.
So the address is 11850 St. Linus Drive.
Thank you.
That's 11850 St. Linus Drive in St. Charles, Maryland. That's the Fieldside Community Center, and that is where the town hall will be held. What time again, Mr. Branch?
I think they're going to start about 7 o'clock.
Around 7 o'clock, yeah. So so probably you should get there early to make sure that you do get a seat. Thank you. Thank you for that. I wanted to go back to something that you did, you know, mention when...
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay, not 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock. So maybe 5:30.
I want Negro time. Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. Well,
that's Mr. Branch.
Yeah, that's true. I don't have anything to say about that. But I wanted to say, you know, Commissioner, mm-hmm. as it relates to, you know, that report that, you know, that came out that, you know, essentially said that kind of confirmed what Mr. Belton said and said that you did not have, that your allegations did not have any standing, but you said you didn't really have a chance to give your side, but it says here that you were one of the four people interviewed.
I actually was not. The interview was actually for another Merit employee. And also I wanted, and since we're addressing the report is taken by internal, it's an internal report. It was a report that was never under, and no one under oath, so people get to say whatever they want to say. I was not interviewed. I was interviewed for another employee, and this is where it started, for another Merit employee. That was with the interview. At that point, the interview ended without me actually being able to provide any kind of comment, because I actually didn't even know what was in the report. Actually, the report was held from me for 3 years. I wasn't able to see it. I wasn't able to obtain it for even for any type of litigation dispute or anything. So, no, that is not true.
You have said that you're not going to resign.
No.
Obviously, you are an elected official. Mm-hmm. Mr. Belton... his position is different. It is an administrative.
It's at will.
Yeah, it's at will. Mm-hmm. Whose will? I mean, who has?
The commissioners generally have the authority to make changes as they see as we see fit. That's generally the commissioners' responsibility for an at will employee under contract.
Mm. So, I take it you haven't spoken to Mr. Belton recently, or have you?
No, I have not. We're still under, court review, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that has not occurred.
Do you?
Just one thing, Harold.
Sure, go right ahead, thing. Mr. Branch.
Her constituents, and nobody said this, are without representation right now
mm-hmm.
because of her censure.
which is unprecedented. In other words, she can't vote on anything, she can't get any bills passed, she can't do anything. So basically, a segment of the population has no representation on the Charles County Commission.
So if that, and that much I'm aware of, but for people who, and thank you for that, Mr. Branch, who are not really familiar with the process, and so what do you do all day? I guess that's kind of the thing.
So my voting it does not preclude me from, it just precludes me from voting on anything matter Mr. Belton's employment, which also affect how we govern, because again, Mr. Belton actually presides over every single department and staff.
Yes, he is the administrator. He's the one who deals with kind of the day-to-day operations.
Ultimately, our AG wrote an opinion that we as commissioners are not authorized to delegate that authority. So ultimately, we're responsible for anything that happens on a day-to-day basis. The form of government that we in, that's our authority. There is an AG opinion out on that very thing. So as far as getting anything done, because that communication is not with Mr. Belton, who has the day-to-day, who handles the day-to-day of staff, generally all of my work has to primarily go through the commissioner president. But who has been really my advocates are in funding source has been a delegation and senator. So I have a really great relationship, and there is also a deterioration in the relationship between them and the county administrator as well. So that it's an ongoing. It seems like this is kind of constant. It's extremely retaliatory. For many reasons, and because I did, and Mr. Branch, right, because I did speak out. I felt that I spoke out for the people who were underserved, who a community that needed a voice. I was born and raised in this county, Charles County, and I ran for this office for the mere fact that there are people that need to be represented that have not been represented. And we're at large, so it's across Charles County, and particularly my district, who's a rural district and a very underserved area. My request was, please help the folks of my district, which is District 2. That did not happen prior to any of this. Did not happen. I guess I was too outspoken. I guess I didn't stay in my place. I guess I didn't do what I was supposed to, do. Although I was elected by the citizens of my county to do my job.
So how do you do it now? I mean, you are still under censure.
Mm-hmm.
There is, if I'm not mistaken, there is still a court case pending.
It's an appellate court.
Yeah. And so just to be clear, while you may not be able to vote on things related to the disposition of Mr. Belton, mm-hmm. can you still vote on contracts, projects, projects, infrastructure?
If they're brought to our board, if the projects are brought to our board by the administrator, then we can in fact evaluate and vote on those matters.
So you're not completely without voting power.
No, not completely without voting power, no.
How do you fix this? How can this be fixed? This has been going on for 3 years and the clock is still ticking.
It is still ticking. We thought that there was a fix. As I stated before, as we move, as new administrative positions come in, and new electors come in, they generally the last administration fired seven people, including the administrator. the prior, you know, it, of course, it was before my turn. Right.
Yes.
2014, Mr. Pelton was fired. So again, this is pretty typical of that former government, any kind of government entity that comes in. They're looking for people that are, you know, that are very objective and can abide by the objective and goals of the commissioners. We set these goals for a reason, and when they are not met, we need to move on. We need to fix it. So again, what occurred probably shouldn't have occurred because there's a separation between judicial and political. There was unfortunately, they got intertwined and intertangled. And now we're at the position where it's like, wait a minute, you're impacting me as a political figure to do what I was elected to do. And this is about power. It's like, you know what? You know, there are three commissioners that want to keep moving the county government forward. There are two that, you know, struggling with the power, the loss of power. So again, this is a constant. This is constantly, you know, a struggle here. Hope to be able to move on. You know, eventually I suppose we will be able to. Once, I guess, you know, if it's not resolved before the appellate case, you know, I'm hoping that you know, we can stop this. This is a bleed where we're sucking the life and the dollars out of our taxpayers for this.
Well, suffice it to say, if I may quote the last three American presidents, elections have consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whether,
yeah.
And for those, like you said, there are commissioners who support you, there are those mm-hmm. who may not. They may not have your same political leanings. Mm-hmm. Any administrator who may come in any position, once that person becomes the boss, that person can bring in their own team. We may not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, and I'll put this question to you, Mr. Branch, short of the voters speaking during the next election cycle, between now and then, and a decision by the appellate court, how do you believe that this situation can be fixed since the constituency is kind of hanging in the balance?
What we're planning on doing is meeting with all parties concerned, a group of black leaders. We're planning, if they will meet with us, and try to find some common ground. We did launch a petition in support of Commissioner Coates, and we're going to be doing some fundraising for her. But obviously, what you mentioned, the last thing, is the most important thing. We're going to try to elect people who look like us. Harold, I don't know. You've been around for a minute. Have you ever seen a fact where two non-elected officials who are Republicans and holdovers from the Hogan administration run a primarily Democratic commission. And you may or may not know, Charles County is going to a political structure, somewhat like Prince George's County, where you have a county executive and search. So people are jockeying for positions. And so this next election, which we think is a long way away, only 2 years away, is going to have a massive influence or impact on the citizenry of Charles County. And we plan to be in the middle of that fight, supporting candidates like Thomasina Coates.
But Mr. Branch, excuse me, you said that you want to see a political movement in the county where people who are elected who look like us, I'm sure.
I said like-minded.
Okay, because I was going to say, because not all skin folk are kin folk.
And
I made that statement today. Right.
And but with that said, again, Charles County isn't homogenous, and it seems to me, just in my humble opinion, that there is a steep hill to climb, because, like you said, there may be a black majority in Charles County, but then there are other people in Charles County who are not African Americans. You have all kinds of people in Charles County. Some people, black and white, who have been there long before the Charles County that is known now. And certainly, this seems to be a bit of a microcosm of what the country is undergoing right now. And so that brings me back to that original question that no matter who is elected, no matter who is appointed, these issues are going to remain. And I'm not asking you, Commissioner, to solve the problem of racism in America.
Can't do that.
But I think this is kind of where you are in your situation, about who is and who is not right, and you know, and the you know, and the whole bit. And so I don't know. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Do you?
I do. Again, you know, we've put things in place that I feel I'm proud of. Okay. Again, you know, we put goals in place. We also brought in a disparity study that is actually kind of a guide to where Charles County needs to go as far as procurement. We also have, we've hired a chief, a first ever chief equity officer. So we are moving in that direction, and particularly as we as commissioners can find that light at that end of the tunnel, it will be where folks of we have a very diverse. Diversity is a major key player here. We're going to make sure that everyone is able to feel that they're being represented by their county commissioners. So again, I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see this as a forever. Prince George's didn't go through forever. Yes, it was about 30 years. Yes, I love my Judge Williams, who said, you know what, we went through this about 30 years ago too. Mm-hmm. So you know what, it's a transition. Yeah. It is a transition. I would hope that we could learn to cohabitate and get along, or you know, if not, you know, divisiveness. This divisiveness and foolishness, it's got to stop.
So let me.
We got to come together. We've got to come together.
And maybe our governor can do that.
Right.
Well, what do you mean by that, Mr. Branch?
Not that he would intervene and take one side.
I was about to say that had me raise an eyebrow. No. Yeah.
No. But when I say maybe he can help in terms of the type of leadership he provides for the entire state, and we can use him as a model, and maybe he can put a word in for some of the parties and say, hey, let's get in a room, let's resolve this, let's learn to live together, and you know, because it's in all of our mutual interests that everybody, conservatives, Democrats, black, white, Hispanics, that we all find a way to coexist together.
Real quick, I don't have a lot of time. You mentioned the hiring of a chief diversity officer. So what is the responsibility of that person?
You know, that's a good question. When we hired one early on, it was a proposed budget change to hire that chief diversity equity officer early on in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It took a whole year for the administrator to decide that, you know, we're going to move forward, and in a kind of some talking to say, come on, we need this. We have communities, even our residents were complaining about discriminatory practice. I had employees coming to me talking about discriminatory practices in within our own county government.
But
and
now
they
that
felt
you have
they felt
one.
That. So right now that one quit. We had a really, really great one that left within 3 months that said that we weren't ready. Obviously we weren't ready, and the administrator wasn't ready for diversity, equity, inclusion.
So what would you want that person to do?
We have one now that is sitting in the spot. I really don't really much know her qualifications of what and where, but I would hope that that would be something that we could possibly, you know, explore and learn a little bit more about who and what. I know she holds certain things, but I would hope that she would.
Yeah, well,
she would be able
and
to.
And again,
to
you know, her qualifications are mm-hmm. are one thing, but what her charge is, mm-hmm. that's a different thing.
Exactly.
And it appears that those who even came before her may have struggled with that. But
yeah, we got to take that thumb off. We got to take that get the thumb off of that and have her to be able to explore and be able to do what she needs to do.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Charles County Commissioner Thomasina Coates Bruce Branch, Executive Director of the Maryland Business and Clergy Partnership. And don't forget, of course, that town hall is tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the Fieldside Community Center, 11850 St. Linus Drive in St. Charles, Maryland. Again, thank you both so very much. I appreciate
thank
your
you
time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.